Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. Here's your host for today, Paul Glorow.
Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. It's Paul Glorow, and I am here with our resident astrologer, Crystal Eves, right off the top of the show. Crystal, how's it going?
It's going really well, Paul. How's it going with you?
Oh, so great. Here we are. It's the final week of September. We are officially in Libra season. Yes. Which is really exciting because, we're going to talk all about it before we get into actual Libra season stuff. We're going to talk about astrology for a moment because that's what we do when we're together. What's really exciting is that our Way of the Sun program, we've reopened our registration for the second half of our Zodiac exploration, which is really exciting. And it starts off with Libra season.
That's right. That's right. We're coming into the second half of the Zodiac. We're going to be looking at all things Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So we're going to have a nice look at these signs, and we've already got pre-recorded the first six signs. And so it's the full Zodiac.
Yeah. So if people are registering now, they're going to get the first half pre-recorded. That includes not only your presentations on each of the Zodiac signs, it also includes my embodiment sessions for each of the Zodiac signs, and bonus, your chapters from your upcoming book, The Way of the Sun, on each of those Zodiac signs. And then from now moving forward, it's going to be all of the in real time, all of the other Zodiac signs that we still haven't explored. So Libra all the way to Pisces.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is super exciting for any listener. Now, let's just talk about this for a second, because I just want to make sure that people know we're not talking, like, yes, we're talking astrology, but we're not trying to be astrologers here. We're just trying to make sense of the world by looking at these 12 ways of being. And it doesn't matter when you're born, when people in your life are born. We're not even looking at actual like sun signs and birth charts and all of that stuff. We are just looking at 12 ways of being, and each way of being can help us understand the people in our lives that show those kind of qualities.
Yeah, that's true. And as we've been going around the Zodiac, people are discovering, I resonate with this way of being, which happens to be Aries, but maybe I'm a Gemini, when I look at my astrology, and I resonate with something else. And I see a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So what it's doing is it's allowing us to really identify with these, 12 archetypes, and to sort of pick and choose, which ones do we feel embody, and which ones do we feel like we're having some reaction to too, because this is an interesting lens. I mean, astrology is a very ancient practice, and it has a lot of old information about how people show up in the world. And this is really consistent over time. This never really has changed. I think that's one of the reasons why astrology has persisted as long as it has. And right. What we're doing is we're taking that ancient wisdom about how people show up in the world, and we're looking at it and saying, does this apply to you? Listen to how this person is. Do you know anyone like this? Do you have a reaction to people who are showing up in the following ways? And it's expanding, hopefully. I feel it is, based on the feedback that we've been getting from people. It's helping people to open up their understanding of different ways of showing up, and how these different ways are perfectly valid, even if they're very different from who we are. And also, if this is how we show up, we're looking at this through a very happy, optimistic, and lovely lens, where we're celebrating this way of being in the world. So this is why we call it Way of the Sun, because as the sun travels through all these various areas, we take the opportunity to talk about that particular archetype. And we're sort of just tracking it as it moves along.
Mm-hmm. And what's really what I love about it is that as we're doing this, we're doing it in real time. So like you said, we're tracking it as we go along, but people are discovering things about themselves and how, like, I hear some of the feedback when people are saying, oh, I didn't know I was like this, or I was like that. but it's helping them understand themselves better, but also communicate with the other people in their lives better. How many times do we hear, oh, you know, so-and-so does that. Oh, now I understand it better because of the way that we're looking at it. We're not looking at it as like, these are all wrong. It's like, look at this way of being and how it can like fill in some gaps, maybe in some of the places where we don't, you know, show up in a certain way.
Yeah, it's like 12 flowers in a garden, right? It's sort of like, each one is special in its own way. It's fragrant in a certain way. It's colorful in a certain way. It grows in a certain timing. And that's really a decent equivalent. It's this bouquet of personalities that we're looking at. And each time we have a session when we're examining this for a whole month, we are looking at one individual flower and how it shows up, and then people can say, oh yes, that's my son, oh yes, that's my my mother, that's myself. And I really love sort of coming under this kind of the beams of the sun, really, because what we're doing is we're highlighting, we're shining the light on this, and we're saying, this is why this one is so great, and let's let's have a look at it, and this is maybe what you can learn from this person's way of being, and maybe you want to emphasize this a little bit more in your own life. So there's a lot of growth that's happening for people looking at all of these things. And then as a side bonus, people are kind of learning a little bit about astrology, just about the zodiac itself, right? Because it's like, they're sort of going, oh yeah, okay, I get how these signs operate. And you know, if you're like most people, you generally will know some of the traits of the signs of the people you hang out with. Maybe people in your family, people you hang out with, and you go, oh yeah, they're a little bit this way. But you won't know, say, the other six or the other eight who don't show up in your life. And so this is expansive in that way and can help us understand people that we don't necessarily hang out with and that we do encounter perhaps though at work, or we encounter in our neighborhood, down the street. And then we go, oh, that's why that person is like that. You know, they're this way. So it's eye-opening, hopefully. I think it is.
Yeah. And the thing that I love, especially with your presentations, is how you always share ways that we can be those signs. So like, for example, last week we just did our Libra session, and you said, okay, go out into the world and do these things will help you be a little bit more Libra. So then we can see within ourselves, oh, it's easy for me to behave in a Libra way, or, oh, this is a challenge for me. So, you know, with the way that I operate, I need to, you know, make the shift here or try that a little bit more to bring it in. And by the end of this experience, we've tried on all of the 12 ways of being. Some, like, we wear like an outfit, right? Some of them, they fit right. It's like, oh yeah, I look good. And then there's other ones where you kind of put it on and you're sort of awkward, but you still try to figure out how to move in that space.
Yeah,
which helps with understanding.
Yeah, that's right. It gives us an opportunity to walk in someone else's shoes for a period of time and maybe appreciate, oh, like, it's exhausting to be this way, or maybe it's really liberating to be this way, or maybe it's really fun to be this way. So not only do you get to try it on, but you also have empathy for the people who are naturally that way and think, wow, that's really special. You could do that. I couldn't do it when I tried. Or that's really amazing that you did that, because I know now it feels really good when you do that. So it's all really about growing in our perspective with people. And ultimately, I mean, life's about people. You know, that all the memories that we carry with us usually involve people. Very, very few times would a person be sitting thinking, my favorite memories is when I was sitting and doing the crossword.
That's true.
it's usually the laugh you had with somebody or the experience you had is like the shared. And not that there's not a nice, valid reason to sit quietly and do a crossword, but if we can expand how we appreciate people, we're going to expand how we appreciate life.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of appreciating other people, we're going to talk about Libra in a second, which is our kind of, you'll explain a little bit of the zodiac of the inner experience and the outer experience. But I just want to kind of circle back to where we don't really need to know anybody's particular sign in order to find, to work with this information. Here's my example. So my father, you know, born in the old country, we celebrate his birthday in January. We celebrate him in the time of Capricorn. My father does portray a lot of Capricorn qualities, but like legend has it that he wasn't born in January and he wasn't even born in December. So again, going with this, like, yes, I don't know if it's true that he was born earlier or not. So if he was born earlier, then he's not a Capricorn, but he's showing Capricorn qualities anyway. And I also think, I just with what we know, I think there's a little bit of Aquarius in him as well with the aloofness, but well, that's for another time. But anyways, like, again, you don't need to know somebody's birthday in order to look at this information, just to see it for what it is as ways of being and still get a benefit from it. Because how I understand the Capricorn personality, I know how to interact with my father as somebody that operates from Leo, which, you know, there's some ways that they don't understand each other, and then there's some ways that they can work well together. So I just wanted to, again, touch on that. Like, it's not about having to know anybody's actual chart, but just recognizing those qualities in other people and knowing how to interact with those qualities.
Yes. And if a person is like really into astrology, they're going to know that there are parts of our personality that are not reflected by the sun sign anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's always like little mystery personalities in every person. And if you're open to sort of observing people and open to sort of examining these 12 different ways of being, you're going to identify. You're going to go, oh, that sounds like Aunt Mary. You know, mm-hmm. that's what she does. So she's probably fits in this category, even though her birthday is some other time, because right. That's valid with astrology. There's always like hidden personality traits that we can discover. And there would be reasons for it in astrology, but you don't need to know any of that to benefit from
right
material.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk now about Libra, because we are in Libra season. But if we can just touch a little bit on the zodiac, because we're now on the second half of the zodiac, and there's something to note about the first six, and then there's something else to note about the other six. So I'll let you.
Yeah. So basically, you know, the way the zodiac goes is that we have the first six signs, and they'll be about things that you are embodying, you know, yourself, and things that are very personal to you. When we get into the next six signs, which is what we're doing now, we're talking more relationally and more out in the world. So that's where we have Libra starts the second half, and it starts with the relational experience of, you know, us and others. So how we understand others, how we bounce our ideas off of others, how we understand who we are by interacting with others. And that's very different from some of the first energies that we come into, is just like the self, on it, the pure self. So this is the self as it connects with others. And then as we mm-hmm. go along, it'll be the self as it connects with energy, and as it connects with knowledge, and as it connects with career and role that it plays in, as it separates from what society wants, and as it merges with all. So we sort of have a continuum that's going on here. We're at midway point. So what we have is self and other at this point, and then we'll progress from there.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I love too is just like knowing about the qualities of each of the signs, also how it relates to the seasons, mm-hmm. and how that is like the whole picture of everything there, which yeah. is really cool. Like, for example, in Leo season, height of like the sun, we're celebrating the sun, it's joy, it's summertime, you know, all of those relationships as well. With Virgo season that we just came in, now we're hunkering down, we're getting back into routine, we're looking at the details of life. And I'm sure you're going to tell us ways when we talk about Libra about how those are tied into the season itself.
Yeah, that's right. Every sign has its place in the season, and astrology is a northern hemisphere art. That's where it sort of comes from. So those seasons are tied to the northern hemisphere, and we have Libra starting off the beginning of fall. So we have the acceptance of the harsh reality that winter is coming. And we have proof of that because we have Colder days, colder nights. We start to see leaves falling. We start to appreciate, oh yes, here we go, into a new season. So it's the beginning, beginning of the contraction is what happens with Libra. We have the Libra season as weather and the season. It's the beginning of the contracting energy, the lessening of the light. Well, we had that start in at the summer solstice, but we have it's more palpable as we come into the fall equinox.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about Libra because my sister's a Libra, and your presentation on Libra last week just was a lot of like eye-opening and, oh, okay, I understand my sister a lot more now. That doesn't annoy me as much knowing that that is where that fits in. So let's talk Libra.
Libra, which is from September 22nd to October 23rd approximately, Libra is the sign that is all about the social niceties of life. So it's the connections to other people, it's harmony, it's balance, it is rational ways of being in the world. So thinking things through, looking at their natural outcome. We said at the beginning of the course with Aries that Aries walks into a room and says, "Here I am." With Libra, Libras walk into the room and say, "Oh, there you are." It's that's the that that sums it up so well. It's this orientation about I'm noticing other people. I notice that there are other people in the world. I don't mind collaborating with people. I don't mind partnering with people. So Libra has some reputation for being flirtatious and being funny and being social and for enjoying the company of others, for being enlivened when it's interacting with others. Libra also has a reputation for maybe taking a little longer to make a decision, for maybe feeling a little bit like they don't have the right to necessarily sort of speak up and demand what they want because they're being so diplomatic. And the reason they would be a little more indecisive has everything to do with the fact that they can think through their consequences, because it's a really logical, rational sign. Somebody who's strongly Libra in their personality is going to be somebody who is able to consider, if I take this action today, what will it mean tomorrow, and what will it mean further down the road? And this is why you see Libras so much in the legal profession. They're quite often agents, diplomats, mediators, lawyers, people who hear your story and then think logically about it, because quite often we're in the middle of our stuff. We're feeling emotional about our information. And it is these people and counselors as well who can say, okay, let's take a nice rational look at what's happening here and see if we can't sort of lead you down this path and out through the other end that way. I mean, I have this example one time where I was in the middle of a real estate deal. And I got this sweet deal. I negotiated this incredibly sweet deal for myself. And my real estate agent had forgot to put in an exclusivity clause, which means that once I negotiated the vendors down to this price, they weren't only exclusively bargaining with me. And what happened was the real estate agent actually took the deal that I bargained. And I was furious. So I went to the lawyer. I said, "I'm just so angry. I'm a Scorpio and I was a little bit vengeful." I said, "Can we just sue this guy? Like, I'm so mad." And the lawyer says, "It was a really good deal. There will be other good deals." And he just, with this clear-headed logic, it's like, it's not worth your time. It's not worth my time. This is just a revenge tactic that you're entertaining, Scorpio woman. So he basically just said, like, "Look, you lost this one, and so you move forward."
No.
And this is what the Libra energy does. It takes its information, and it goes, "I'm going to move forward from here. So I'm going to be logical and rational. And does it make sense for me to hang in this or go forward?" And Libra almost always goes forward, which is why if you know a Libra type and you do have like a disagreement or argument with them, they will almost always apologize first, because they want to take the information, they want to go forward. They don't want the disharmony, they don't want the upset. And there is a good friend of mine who she's strongly Libra, and she basically adopted this attitude. She's like, okay, look, if I'm going to fight with my partner, I'm going to ask myself this question: will we eventually make up? And if the answer is yes, she's like, well, just do it now. Because why waste 3 weeks giving everybody the cold shoulder when we're eventually going to get to the spot? Why not just skip all the unpleasantness and just get there right away? And if we're not going to make up and get over this, like, let's call it quits right now. So like, it's just sort of like, let's just advance the social arrangement. Let's advance our relational situation. And that's why people love Libra, right? Because they're willing to put some things aside in order to maintain the connection. They're willing to concede the point. They're willing to sort of swallow their pride. They're willing to do things that because ultimately the most important things are the people. Yeah. Yeah, so that's in a nutshell, that's Libra.
I love it. Libra is just such a beautiful sign. The way you were describing it in session last week was just, I'm like, oh, especially, I mean, knowing that Libra is ruled by Venus, correct?
Yes, correct.
Venus, yeah. So there's some qualities where I'm like, okay, I can see the Venus influence in Libra with, especially when you brought up the photo of Grace Kelly and talking about how Libra was it Libra and Venus? Venus and Libra, you were saying that has that flair and that style.
Yeah, I believe that Grace Kelly was a Libra, if I'm remembering correctly. But even if she isn't, her style is just beautifully Libra. I mean, there's something about Libra has an ability to understand what's balanced and what's harmonious, and so they can translate this into the clothing that they wear and how they decorate their space and how they host a party. You know, it's got a grace about it that is just really lovely. Yeah, Libra is is one of my favorite signs, but in a way they all are. But I'm married to Libras, yes. So I have a particular soft
there
spot
you go.
For Libra. Yeah. Yeah,
I love that. Now, do you have any info for Libras, Librians?
I don't know how
to say this.
Librans.
Librans. Okay.
Librans. Yeah. So it's interesting about Libra right now, because as we come into the upcoming year and the next couple of years as well, those who are born right at the beginning of the sign, around, you know, September 22nd, 23rd, 24th, in there, there's going to be a nice cycle that comes in for them that's going to be a rush of really empowering energy. So this is lovely. It's kind of like opposite to what they were dealing with in 2008, 2009. If you're a Libra and you were struggling in those years, this is going to be the time to sort of make up for it. You know, because this is going to be like what you grew into as a result of navigating that tough time. And I know that was a rather long time ago that I'm talking about, but it is related. Those times are related. Anybody born at the very end of the sign, you know, toward the beginning of Scorpio, so like the 22nd, 23rd of October, they might be going through a big transformation that feels a little more difficult for them. So we have a bookend experience going on for the Libras, the beginning of the sign, the end of the sign, getting a lot of energy. Everybody else in the middle, you know, if we're only talking about the sun sign, they're getting an interesting kind of year that's not too flowing, but it's not too bad, you know? I was thinking like, what's the best way for me to describe this? It would be like having wearing some pants that look really good on you, that you feel nice in, and then eating a big Thanksgiving dinner and having them feel a little bit too tight. Like they're still your favorite pants, but you're not having the full enjoyment of them, but it's not such a bad thing to feel full, because then you've just had a nice meal. So it's it's sort of like in that gray area where it's like, it's not really, you know, flow. It's not really vibing 100%, but it's not so bad. And that's for most Libras during the year. There is an eclipse, a solar eclipse, October 14th in Libra. So if you're born the 12th, the 13th, the 14th of October, watch that time, because there you might be beginning some new aspect of your journey. And so the people you meet around that time, the ideas that you have, the things that are beginning, those are going to be important things to take note of during that time. And maybe all Libras will feel that a little bit, you know, that they might feel that energy building, that extra energy, that solar eclipse energy in Libra. It might be a good time for any Libra to start something. For all people who are not Libras, that's a good time to begin something in collaboration with other people, because we're going to capture some of the Libra energy, and maybe, you know, in the mid-month, that'll be a nice time to consider, do I want to start a new relationship? Do I want to commit to a business partnership? Do I want to do something more social? That's for everybody, that one. But the Libras will feel maybe a little stronger. So, I should say this too. The ones who are born on the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th of October, that group, it's going to be a big year for them. This will be an important year, because if you have an eclipse happen near your birthday, then that year, you know, something is going to really transform and change during the year for you. So you know, that'll be good. That'll be a good year.
That's exciting. I think it was about eclipses that I heard. It's almost like when a computer is like not working well, you shut it down and then you turn it on again. Is that similar to like the vibe of an eclipse, where it kind of like resets things and you know, the things that weren't working are going to kind of fall away and everything's going to reset and start it up again? Is that
I've never heard that analogy sense? But yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because the a solar eclipse is just a glorified new moon, right? Because the sun and the moon are together, they're just lined up so that they, you know, sort of blocking each other out, either partially or totally. So the so in that sense, it is a new cycle. It is a new time. Mm-hmm. And we get two solar eclipses a year, basically two lunar eclipses a year. So our next grouping is going to be in the spring. And so this will sort of carry us, this reset will carry us until the spring.
Okay. This is exciting. And, you know, because I love Libra even more than I did before, I'm looking forward to this season. This next couple of weeks is just going to be, I don't know, just so, I don't know, wonderful and connected and a really good time.
Yeah, it's a nice time. You know, what's interesting about Libra season is we start to get social indoors in ways that we weren't when we just came through the summer, right? So we will, in Canada, you know, you've got the Thanksgiving, and then we're getting ready for other holiday seasons that come after. So it's kind of the kickoff, at least where we are. And even in the US, they're sort of getting ready for that comes in the next season, like the next month over. But there's a social element that where people are doing a lot of like back to, you know, getting together. Because if you join a club or whatever, they're all starting up, you know, around this time. People usually give a little bit of time for the school year to kick in and so on. And then they start the social clubs. So this is, you know, we have like fitness things going on, and there's courses that are happening, and there's just social events that start happening, and largely indoors if you're living in a more cold climate.
Well, speaking of social and getting people together indoors, anybody that's interested in Way of the Sun, check out the show's notes, because you can join us for the second half of this. And again, you're going to get the information from the first half, all of those recordings, plus you get to join the group of us that is going through this journey already under your guidance, and then with my exploration and my embodiment of the sign. It's just such a wonderful time to be with people learning about the zodiac and the ways of being.
Yeah, and it's a good group we have too. So
if
you feel like you want to be part of a good group, Come on along. Yeah.
Come on in. So check out the show's notes. Crystal, I love you so much. The next time we see you, we're going to be celebrating your season, Scorpio season.
Yes. Yes,
which,
that's right.
You know me, I have a very special place in my heart for Scorpio because my moon and my rising are both Scorpio.
Yes.
And I know that. I love that. Anyways, we'll talk about that when we get there. I am so thrilled. I love you so much. Enjoy your Libra season, and we'll
Thank
see you again
you.
Soon.
You too. Thank you so much, Paul. Love you right back.
And now we have our resident naturopathic doctor, Dr. Patricia Rennie. How are you doing, my love?
I am great, Paul. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. I feel like it's been a while since we've spoken because I've been watching your adventures on the Instagram and you've been having just the time of your life. I mean, September has been it seems like an exciting month for you.
It is. And it's a bit unusual for me to be that busy socially and traveling and having all of those adventures, but it's been like literally September has disappeared, unfortunately for me. And my garden is very dry and very sad, but I have had so much fun in September.
Love it. Okay, so everybody is wanting to know, how is your garden doing? How's your your yield been? I've been seeing some of the things that you're making.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I always say that, Paul, but so my big wins for this year, I may have told you earlier that my husband built me this beautiful trellis to grow my butternut squash on. So I got 7 big, beautiful butternut squash. The biggest one, 5 pounds.
Whoa.
You know, organic butternut squash is very expensive and it's still it doesn't grow in full sun. So that was pretty good for me where it was. I got the best peppers. I've just a few, but I got the best bell peppers I've ever had. I got 120 heads of garlic.
Whoa.
I got baskets of onions. For the little space that I'm using, I can I feel like I'm really maximizing. And now I'm going out and collecting all the seeds for next year so that I don't have to buy a whole bunch of seeds next year. So there's still some really cool stuff. And the big thing I've learned, not learned, but the thing I've gotten better at this year is replanting so that when, my green beans in the back are done, but I planted green beans in the front after I took out the garlic. So I'm still getting enough green beans for dinner most nights at the end of September.
Wow. That's amazing. That's succession planting. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Love that. Wow. Amazing. So good. I still have to come by and enjoy some of your yield. So we'll make sure that we make that happen before the season is done. But we're talking about probably the most important thing that we could talk about. I mean, all the things we talk about are important, but we're talking water today.
Yes. And my garden is sadly, not receiving it. Hasn't received any for most of the month. But yeah, we can't live without water. It's necessary for life. We can go without food for, as you know, quite a long time, but can't live without oxygen and then can't live without water. So it's necessary. And there's lots of sort of contradictory information, I would say, out there. Even the research that's been done is contradictory. So you may not agree with what I say. Lots of other people may not agree with what I say, but this is my truth and what I understand about water. And this is how I live, basically. So where should we start? I think, if you think back millennia, originally our water was just really super pure and it just bubbled up out of springs in the ground, or we could drink it out of streams. We're not in that position anymore. And when it was like that, it would be, depending on where it is in the world, it would dissolve, because the thing about water is it's a carrier, right? It dissolves things and then it can carry things away. So wherever it was percolating, it would absorb nutrients, minerals, things from where it was, depending on where it was. I can't even imagine just stopping at a stream and scooping, because you have no idea what are in there in terms of bacteria, toxins at this point. So, we live in an environment where we know when we turn the tap on that water has all been through a water treatment plant. And what does that mean? That means that anything chunky has been filtered out of it. There's no particulate matter in there. That's happened for sure. And again, depending on where you live, certainly where we live, a bunch of chlorine is added in order to sterilize it, right? To kill off any fungus, bacteria, viruses that are living in the water so that we know when we turn that tap on, we're not going to get sick from that water. And certainly that's not true everywhere in the world. I'm very fortunate to have that. Where we live, fluoride is also added to our water. So things are added, and we don't always know exactly what's in there because theoretically water is just H2O, but what's coming out of our taps is not.
Right.
So I think it's important to really start to understand what all the other things are that are in there. And do you really, do you really want to be consuming the chlorine and the fluorine? And, you know, is that okay for the body or not? And, you know, obviously it's in parts per million that are considered to be okay. But when we accumulate all of those things over time, but the other things that are in our water that we don't really think about, and I certainly didn't think about for a long time, are, you know, when my patients or my family members or friends are consuming birth control pills and statins for cholesterol and all the other medications that people are consuming, those are processed through their body and then the metabolites are peed out. So those things are, you know, I said chunky things are filtered out of water, but tiny, tiny things like that are not. So you're likely consuming things that you don't want to be consuming when you're just getting your water from the tap. And I have to confess, like, with no shame whatsoever, I am an absolute water snob. Like, it's really hard for me to be away somewhere and drink the water from the tap. And part of that is also because obviously the taste of water changes in different places. And that's because we're not getting H2O. It depends on the pH of the water and what else is dissolved in it, what it tastes like.
Yeah. You know, when I moved up to Innisfil, the water, like the chlorine level is so high here, and especially I'm not too far from the water treatment plant, so maybe it's even higher, I don't know, but it was so much that like my skin was burning in the shower.
Exactly.
It was intense.
Right. It's so very drying, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. Now I have a water softener, but I also drink, I have a separate filter for my drinking water because of all the stuff that you've already been talking about.
Exactly. And that's exactly the situation I have in my home. And interestingly, I just came from British Columbia and the water out of the tap there tasted like amazing. So
wow,
I did try it.
You got to try the local tap water. If it's, I mean, obviously,
because it tells you something about where you are, right? If you need to have chlorine that high, why is that? Mm-hmm. So, just different legislation in different parts of the world too.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of like what's in our water that we don't want there, and then you know, there's lots of different kinds of water. But I think a big part of the controversy is around how much water should we be drinking? Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these sort of arbitrary numbers have been thrown out over the years, like everyone needs 8 glasses of water. There's a new trend that I saw on my phone, and it says everyone should be drinking 1 gallon of water. Well, 1 gallon, I don't know how to convert that to liters, but like that's way more water than I can drink in a day.
Yeah.
And we all have different capacities for how much we can drink and should drink. And obviously, maybe it's not obvious, like even too much of a good thing can kill you. You can drink yourself to death with water because you simply dilute yourself to death, right? So
so
I always caution my patients about drinking, you know, I want them to drink enough, but I also caution them about drinking too much because all of that stuff's got to filter through your kidneys. All of that stuff's got to filter through your body. So you're putting more pressure on those organs than maybe they really need. Right. So the logical, you know, we're different sizes, we're different shapes. Obviously that's going to have an impact on how much we need. The thing that's logical to me that I was taught by one of my mentors was take your body weight in pounds, divide it by 2, and convert that to ounces. So say you weigh 160 pounds, 80 ounces, that's 10 8-ounce cups of water, which is really 2.5 liters.
Okay.
And that
that's
way,
a good number.
you're scaling up and down depending on your size. If you're only 120 pounds versus 220 pounds, right?
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I've heard that too, actually rolling around in some of the fitness trainers that I've spoken to about water intake is that exact calculation that you just did there.
Yes. Well, and then I think the next thing we have to think about is what's water, because often my patients think, well, I have 3 cups of black tea every morning, and then I have 2 cups of coffee, and then I have this, you know, the only thing that's water is water.
Right.
Except maybe for herbal tea, if you're not putting anything in it, because as soon as you put honey, sugar, milk into any fluid, you have to digest it, and then it's not water. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, it's not really food, but it has to go through your system.
Right. So the way I like to think of it is that water, just pure water, is like taking a shower. You're not going to take a shower in soda, right? Like, you, that's just stuff that you're going to take it in pure, clean, clear water.
And maybe I would take a shower in peppermint tea, but I wouldn't take a shower in coffee. No, I think right. I like that analogy. That's a good one. Because soda is definitely not water.
Right.
And even if your coffee's black, it's not water, because we know that coffee is diuretic. So when you put coffee water into your body, you're actually pulling out more fluid than you're putting in, because you end up, if people have paid attention, they end up peeing more when they drink mm-hmm. coffee. Mm-hmm. So essentially water is water. Obviously we get water from eating fruits and vegetables, but I think when we're calculating how much we're drinking, we just kind of stick with the pounds and ounces idea is helpful. And it'll also depend on how much salt you're consuming and things like that.
Right. Now so we talked a little bit about water filters, and when I was doing my research for what I wanted for my home, the idea of getting like a reverse osmosis tap for my sink, like to drink from, came up, and I didn't like that idea. And I'm curious to know your take on it, because from what I understand, reverse osmosis is like literally taking everything out, including the good stuff, like the minerals and stuff that we need in water. Is this true?
Well, that is true. Reverse osmosis. And I think that it's true. Like when you go down to, I know that it's true. Like when you go down to Caribbean islands where they have to get their water from seawater, they have to desalinate it. That water is all going through a reverse osmosis system. And so when I'm in the Caribbean, I actually can drink tap water because it's treated for like the whole country that way. So yes, reverse osmosis water gives you H2O, because it's putting, and usually when you have reverse osmosis, it has other filters in it, like carbon filters and things. But yes, it puts the water through a membrane where the semi-permeable holes in the membrane are so small that the only thing that can fit through are the two H's and the O. Mm. And so it pulls out all of the bad things that we've been talking about, but it also will it'll pull out the dissolved mineral salts that are in there. And you brought it up. I've had a reverse osmosis on my kitchen tap for over 25 years, and I'm not worried about that, because typically the minerals that are dissolved in water are inorganic minerals. They are they're water soluble, but they're not fat soluble, so they don't really get into our cells in the same way.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't drink water to get your calcium. You eat leafy green vegetables to get your calcium.
Right.
So from the perspective that if we drank tons and tons and tons of water, then it could dilute our system, because it'll kind of by osmosis pull minerals out. But we're getting those minerals from our fruits and vegetables and our food.
Right.
If we're not over consuming water, which we've already talked about not doing.
Right. Right. And if somebody is over consuming water, we could just add a mineral supplement to our water to like replace those things if needed. Okay.
And that's, you know, when people buy reverse osmosis now, they, you know, whether it's necessary or not, they sell those things to people. We personally never did that on our water, but because it's just H2O, I remember the day that, you know, the tap went in, my kids going, ew, this water tastes funny. So it takes a while to adapt to different tastes of water, because there are different things in it or not in it.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I definitely, because I used to be a tap water drinker until I moved up here and I was like, I can't drink this water. Oh. And so I have a Berkey filter that for those that are unfamiliar, actually, Catherine and I have spoken about the Berkey filter before.
Okay.
It kind of filters out all the stuff that you had mentioned, all the pharmaceuticals, all of the, like the, I have a separate filter for the fluoride as well to pull it all out, but, and it leaves it like just pure drinking water. Apparently, they use this filter system, in places that, like don't, people can take it camping and drink like the lake water and stuff like that if it goes through this.
Yeah. I think everybody needs to do something, ideally, you know, start where you are economically, what you can afford, depending on whether you're renting or you own your home, even if it's just a countertop, something that takes chlorine and fluorine out, because, you know, we don't need those in our system. We're getting fluorine from our toothbrush if we're still growing in our teeth. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, scale up depending on where you are and research is about that. But I think For sure. I don't want people going out buying those cases of plastic water bottles.
Yes, no
another plastic water bottle on this planet. But having something on your kitchen tap is that, like, all the water I use for cooking, all the water we use for drinking comes through that filter. So it's amazing. Kind of an endless supply.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So this is good. Keeping us hydrated through the fall, because fall season starts to, in Ayurveda, we start to look at how the season dries things up. So we see that the leaves start to dry. You've talked about how your garden is like drying up and, you know, we're preparing for winter. So this is a wonderful time to be reminded of the importance of staying hydrated. And something that I've always heard, and I'm sure you've shared this with me many times, we should be making sure that we're peeing clear. That's when we know we're hydrated. Is this a thing? The look that you just gave me, I'm wondering if I should.
No, I took that way. I took my B vitamins this morning. I certainly did not just pee clear. So,
Well, like obviously within reason, but like for the most part, if we're not adding any things like that, we know that we're sufficiently hydrated when there's not a strong foul odor to our pee and it's not super dark yellow.
Definitely, yes.
Fluorescent yellow is okay. Thank you, B vitamins. But I'm not the doctor. Don't listen to me. Listen to Dr. Patricia Rennie. Thank you so much for being here today. Love you so much.
Thank you, because
Thanksgiving is in a couple of weeks. So happy early Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
And we will see you in October.
All right. See you then.
And now our next conversation, we actually have no idea where it's going to go. Jackie Talley is in the house. How are you, Jackie?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. So Jackie and I are playing this game. I just picked up this deck of cards, which are super fun. They're called Let's Get Closer. And I figured, since you and I have been waking up together for the last almost 2 years, it's going to be 2 years in November. Maybe it's time for us to get a little bit closer.
Yeah, actually, this is my 477th, or today was my 477th session with you.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And you're still here?
I'm still here.
I can barely get past the first date, let alone 477. Jackie, I feel like we need to celebrate with this somehow.
Right. Well, ask me a question.
All right. Random card. I'm picking the first question. It's our close card. Okay. If your life was a movie or a book, what would you title it?
Oh, a movie or a book. Something like My Life in Tights. Or My Life in Sneakers.
I like My Life in Tights. I feel like you've got some stories in tights, both appropriate stories and inappropriate stories.
Right, because I've been wearing tights for a long, long time. I remember my first leotard and my first tights when I was in college. I was so proud of that. I was taking modern dance and I was so excited to get my first leotard. Many leotards and tights later, here I am.
Oh, the stories those leotards would tell. Do you have a photo of this?
Of the first leotard?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Let's take a look. Oh my gosh. Look at you, Jackie, and your little leotard. Okay, can we just comment on your pose? You're basically the emoji dance emoji lady, but she's wearing a red dress and you're in a leotard, like your position.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I have the flipped wrist and my feet are in kind of an open fifth position, and I have on my dirty white kids.
Oh my gosh. I love, okay. You're adorable with your little headband and everything. Tell me what's going on in this photo. So this is like your dance class or your dance group?
I was at the University of Montevallo, and this was a workshop that we had. My instructor brought in a special person from Mississippi to teach us some dances for our concert that was coming up. So this was kind of at the end, and we were posing for pictures, and the instructor is the one on the right, the far right. Mm. So, yeah, I was having a lot of fun then. I was soaking it up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You can tell. Okay. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions. I mean, we're going to be here for a while. Why are you in shoes and the instructor is in shoes, but the rest of the ladies aren't?
You know, that makes me wonder too. I'm not sure about that. I know that the floor in that building was uneven and probably dirty, and I probably just didn't want to get my feet dirty.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, your little positioning, everything, your toe tap, your hand flip, even your, like, look at your hair. How cute are you?
Oh,
honestly, that to me is like, what's that?
A page boy. Yeah.
What does that mean?
We used those big curlers back then.
Ah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You look amazing. Jackie, thanks for sharing this with us. This is so cool.
Well, thanks for bringing it up. The leotard started it all. So I've got on my first black leotard there and tights.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Well, I also can't wait to read that book. I mean, I've read your other book. I still have that on my shelf. I cannot wait to read My Life in Tights. Are you ready to get closer?
Let's get closer. I'm excited.
What is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you?
Ooh. Well, the first thing that pops into my head is this was really embarrassing. In high school, I won a scholarship. It was a small scholarship. And so it was from a women's garden club, something like that. And so they wanted to take me or entertain me and make the presentation. So I think we were at someone's house. And I worried so much about what I was going to wear and how I was going to act in front of these proper women. And so we were sitting there eating, and I dropped something on my, I mean, it was really obvious, some kind of food on my shirt. And that's all I could think about the rest of the time.
Oh.
And I was so embarrassed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, Jackie, that's so sweet. I wish I could give you like a big hug right now. But I'm sure you still looked fabulous and you still got the scholarship.
I did. And to this day, I'm really aware of not dropping food on my chest because it's kind of an old lady thing.
Oh, is that?
Now it's kind of an old lady thing. So I try to be really careful about that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I am not, well, okay, I can be a very sloppy eater sometimes. So I've been known to drop food on me, which is so, I totally get the embarrassment.
Yeah.
But I love how you turned out.
Thank you. Me too. You didn't let it.
I was going to say, you didn't let it hold you down. All right. Are you ready to get the closest that I think?
Ooh, I'm a little nervous, but let's do it.
All right. Here's the card. What emotion do you experience the most?
Ooh. Well, I guess something like worry. I'll just call it worry, because I'm always trying to be prepared. And I worry about, do I have everything I need? And have I got the right music today? And am I going to get in a traffic jam? You know, stuff like that, just daily hassles and worries. And I do know that I spend way too much time on that. And, you know, it's been kind of a lifetime. Here I am, 80 years old, and still worrying about those little things.
Yeah.
Someone said, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, I'm still sweating the small stuff.
You're still, well, and you're still sweating too, because you're teaching
yes,
fitness classes.
A lot. So.
Wow. Well, I can understand that, you know, especially like a lot of the things that you mentioned there are like life survival things. They're like in the chakra system, you know, or root chakra kind of things that ensure our safety and our, you know, security. So,
right.
Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Well, what about you? What is your biggest worry, or your biggest emotion? That was it.
The card is, what emotion do you experience the most? Oh my gosh. You know what? It's hard to say, because I mean, one would think I would be like, joy is the emotion that I experience all the time, which is not fully true. I don't know. I've never really thought of this question. It's not worry. But a question that I kind of ask myself, or I notice in a lot of things that I approach with, is, do the people that I'm interacting with, do they like me? Like when I'm teaching my class, do they like what's happening now? If I'm, you know, having a conversation with someone, I'm like, well, are they into this? Like, I'm always kind of wondering what other people's experience is of me.
I do that too. I think as teachers, being in front of people a lot, you know, I think that's kind of normal, don't you? I mean, I'm playing a song and I'm looking around the room, and if I see anyone frowning, I'm wondering, well, do they not like this song? And it's probably a waste of my energy, because they may be loving it, but they didn't inform their face.
There's a lot of people like that. So. Their face didn't get the message of how much they're enjoying themselves. No, you know what? It's funny, because I would, I've talked about this on the podcast before, where my career is kind of like in two parts. There was the first part, which happened before I took my break, and now there's this next part that I'm in now. And I would say most of that first part was me worrying, do they like it? Am I doing the right thing? Does this make sense? Is this sequence even safe? Well, not that I would ever do something unsafe, but like, you know, those questions in my head, like, yeah. Is this a logical order that I'm doing these things? But now, I mean, there are still is this movement safe? Is this appropriate for the group that I'm working with? Obviously, those are always going to be in, you know, my awareness, because that's what we do as fitness professionals, as leaders of an experience. But no longer am I'm less and less in a place where I'm like, oh, I hope they like it. Oh, I hope this is, you know, good enough for them. Now I'm at the point is, this is what I'm offering. If you like it, hop in, like, have the time of your life. If you don't dig it, there's the door. Just make room for somebody else that wants to be here. You know what I mean? That's kind of.
Yeah. And someone told me one time, we were having a similar conversation, and she said, just do what you love and what brings you joy, and it will radiate out into the audience, and they will love it, and it make them feel happy. So I've been trying to remember that. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love that. There's a song, actually I played it in Arise once, which, can we just have a sidebar for a second, just so I can name it? We haven't danced much in Arise lately.
And we need to.
But one of the, so mental note, bring that back. But one of the songs that I played at one point, if you remember, it was called Feel Good 2 by Jason Mraz. It just came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And there was a part at the end of the song where he says, do what you love and everybody feels it. And that just makes me think of what you said right there. And I'm trying to live in that space. Do what you love and everybody feels it. Because I know, like, when I talk to certain people about their area of genius, when I talk to you about dance, when I talk to Claudia about, you know, brain stuff and trauma, when I talk to Crystal about astrology, I can, like, there's this, like, surge of life that I just feel going through you all and anybody that I talk to, that it's just like, of course, if that's the experience that I'm having when you talk about what you love, imagine what I would, just imagine what other people would feel when I talk about what I love.
I agree. And I think it does work. And I think you and I talked about being present or being engaged one time. And so when we as leaders are talking about what we love or doing what we love, and we have that engagement and the eye contact, and we're sharing not only our energy, our molecules, they can tell from the way we look and the way our body is moving that we're totally involved in it.
Yes.
And I've had a couple of students tell me lately, I just love your class because I can tell you're having fun too.
Ah, is it that the best thing that you could hear?
Yes. Yes.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that we got closer today, Jackie.
Yes, we did. It was kind of scary to ask me those questions.
Yeah, because you had no idea what question. I didn't even know what question I was going to ask. I just picked the card like before I asked the question.
That's a great little game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it, and I love you. Thank you so much for being here and for being part of the podcast. And I love that we're coming up to our 2-year anniversary of waking up together.
Yes, we'll have to celebrate somehow. Yeah.
Hey, I'm happy to come down to Alabama and you show me around.
Okay.
I mean, that's part of the world I haven't been to yet, so.
Okay. All right. It'll be cooler then.
Good, because I don't know if I can handle 90s with 80-something percent humidity.
Right. So,
I love you so much, Jackie. We'll see you again next
month. Love you. Thank you.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.